A stern rebuke from the bench and a huge sigh of relief for healthcare providers for women in the states of Texas and Mississippi as the U.S. Supreme Court, by a 5-3 vote, ruled against a Texas law that tried to restrict abortion clinics with a so-called safety requirement that would have forced many clinics to close and left millions of women unable, practically speaking, to seek reproductive health care. The court said that the law in Texas that restricts doctors from performing abortions unless they have so-called hospital admitting privileges is unconstitutional. And they agreed with doctors who argued that the law did not seriously affect safety.
That is complete nonsense. So there is nothing about this law that improves safety related to abortions. Doctors love talking about safety. We have conferences. We do research. We love safety. If there was something that would actually improve safety related to abortion, we're all for it. And we're always working on things to make abortion safer, though it's hard to do because abortion is so safe as it is already.
That's Dr. Ann Davis, consulting medical director for Physicians for Reproductive Health. Ian Millhiser also spoke with us. He's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and author of Injustices, the Supreme Court's History of Comforting the Comfortable and Afflicting the Afflicted. He says the court was not fooled by the cleverness of the Texas law.
If, in fact, Texas had challenged Roe v. Wade directly, if they had said, like, we just don't think there should be a constitutional right to an abortion at all, you know, at least they would have been honest about what they were up to, and the court could have had a conversation about whether they want to keep in place this right that they recognized in 1973. What they're doing instead here is they're trying to be super cute.
You say cute, but does the court recognize the cuteness issue? I mean, is there sort of any legal issue here?
Well, so, I mean, at the oral argument, it was very clear that many of the justices knew exactly what Texas was up to because they grilled Texas's Solicitor General on how this law doesn't seem to have any actual health benefits. Notably, Justice Kennedy, who is the crucial swing vote in this case, also suggests that he thought that this law is an undue burden. But yeah, like to the cuteness issue, I mean, what they have done here, what Texas did here, is they looked at past precedents that said that abortion clinics can be regulated for safety. And like they should be regulated, just like any doctor is regulated to make sure that they engage in self-safe medical practices. And they said, let's pass a sham law. Let's pass a law that looks like it's a medical safety law. But as Dr. Davis noted, the admitting privileges provision really has nothing to do with medical safety. There's another provision that imposes very expensive architectural requirements on clinics, everything from the width of the halls to the width of the doorways to the angle that water is squirted out of water fountains in the clinic is regulated by this law. And, you know, first of all, I'm not sure that the squirting of water in your water fountain is going to do much to improve the safety of your abortions. But setting that aside, what most of these regulations are for is there are regulations that are typically imposed upon facilities that do major surgeries. And many abortion clinics don't do any surgeries at all. They only offer medication abortions where a woman is given a pill or a series of pills to take, and that's it. The problem with this law, and I think this might explain why Justice Kennedy looks like he may balk at it, is that it is an attempt to play a fast one on the courts, to say, if we dress something up, if we put enough wool on this wolf, will the court treat it as a sheep?
Is there precedent in the legal system for a process? And let's just say for the moment, everyone would agree that it's permissible under the First Amendment to have a debate over the right to choose and an abortion, although people have strong opinions about it. But is there precedent for that debate and that discussion to apparently have so many onerous implications for people in hospitals? Patients are affected by this going back and forth in various states. I just wonder if at a certain point, this debate itself is harmful to people with medical needs. Ian?
Well, I mean, I could think of two very recent precedents. That was the two lawsuits challenging the Affordable Care Act. I mean, these were cases that dealt with whether millions of people would have health insurance. You had hospitals that had changed their entire business plan because they were anticipating that the Affordable Care Act would be there, and it endangered their ability potentially to continue operating if the law suddenly went away. I mean, I discussed this, you know, with, in a tremendous amount of detail in my book, what would have happened to patients if this law had ceased to exist. So, I mean, it is certainly true that there is, I think, a rather unfortunate tendency by litigants to try to set health policy or challenge health policies they don't like in the courts, often without much concern for what this means for the patients involved.
Ian Millhiser is senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and author of Injustices, the Supreme Court's History of Comforting the Comfortable and Afflicting the Afflicted.